Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Kevin, this is Delia, and we're teachers and tutors here at the LSAT Demon. And we have this question about interviews. Very, very great question. It's from Robert. He says, interviews, straight to the point. Some law schools offer them, some require them, some do neither. Do you have any insight into how to prepare for a law school interview? And how much impact do they have on admissions and or scholarship? Thanks. So, Delia, I guess I'll throw it out to you here. What advice can we give to Robert about interviews?
Yeah, so this is a great question. I think interviews are such an integral part of the law school process, so I love talking about them. And I also think they can be something that is fun if you make it fun, right? Use it as an opportunity to talk to the school, get to know the school, maybe interview them a little bit and show them who you are beyond what's on your paper application. So I guess if we just kind of want to start talking, like, back it all the way up and talk about what kinds of law school interviews that there are, and specifically the ones that we've encountered. I've encountered one-on-ones with Zoom, Kira interviews, which, Kevin, I might let you jump in and talk a little bit about what a Kira interview is.
Sure.
Scholarship interviews, which happen kind of post admission, and then some schools do group interviews. Off the top of my head, I did one for Georgetown, where I was with probably about six other people, something like that. And it was about an hour long group interview. But Kevin, if you kind of want to talk about what a Kira interview is, because I'm sure people who might be more unfamiliar with the interview process are kind of like, what is Kira? Who is Kira? Yeah. Is that a person's name?
Who's this mysterious woman? I know nothing about
who
her.
Who is Kira?
Yeah. No, Kira interviews are pre-recorded interviews. So basically, you get sent this link from the school if they're interested in interviewing you. You get sent to this website. I think it's called Kira. I'm not sure if it's just the platform they use. But anyway, you get sent to this website. You log in, set yourself up, and they throw out short video questions at you. And, you know, it could be stuff like, what are your biggest fears? Name a life experience you've had that would be helpful to you when you go to law school. Or, you know, what specialized skills do you have? You know, just random questions about you. And as you answer them or prepare to answer them, they'll give you about 30 seconds to a minute to practice on your own real quick. Just kind of go through the motions. Okay, what am I going to say? And then the recording starts and you have, I think it's a minute and a half to answer. It depends on the school.
Yeah.
I think they might change throughout that. But as you answer, you know, they're looking for honesty and just kind of, you know, get to know who you are, similar to a one-on-one interview, put a face to a name, that sort of thing. So it's very chill. You can do it at your own pace. However, once you start answering those questions, that is your one chance. You can do some practice questions beforehand, but once you get going, you can't re-record. So I ended up doing four of those throughout my cycle. Three of them were initial interviews, and then one was I got on the wait list and wanted to do it again. So a lot of schools use Kira interviews, and you know, it's definitely a good option, especially if you just want to do it at your own pace and not have to set up a meeting time. You can do it whenever. So
right, and I like they're trying to simulate that is like as if there was a real person there asking you questions, and I think
right. That's
the point of it being timed. So you just it's nothing to be scared of. You just kind of need to be aware of like it will cut you off after. I mean, I did mine for Texas, and if you wouldn't mind maybe sharing the schools that you did your Kira interviews for,
oh, yeah.
But with the Texas one, yeah, no, you're good. With the Texas one, I think I had a minute per question. I did have that time to prep and practice. It was like 30 seconds, and then I had about a minute to answer the questions, but it would cut you off after that minute. So it's just something to be aware of. Just make sure you kind of take that time to actually prepare what you want to say. It's really not as scary as it seems. I also, on the Texas one, I'm not sure if you had this in any of your Kira interviews, but I had like a writing portion, a timed writing portion where
I had
to write. I don't know how in depth we're supposed to get about the questions that were specifically asked, but just in general, just things to be aware of. I think I had a writing portion as well. So
for the schools, I did Texas also. I had Cornell, and then the one I did twice was Northwestern. Did one when I applied, and then did one when I got on the waitlist. But I had a writing thing with Cornell. It went back and forth. I totally forgot about that. did a recorded video answer, and then I did a written question. It went back and forth for a while until they ran out of questions. I can't remember how many there were. So yeah, the writing portion and the video recording portion, I'm glad you mentioned this. It's really not that bad. It sounds like, oh my gosh, we only have a limited time to answer. It goes by super fast. And again, you can do as much practice as you want before you get started. So you can kind of get how the flow goes before you get into it. It's not bad at all.
For sure. And there are tons of resources out there about how to prep for these interviews beyond obviously our podcast here.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Don't be afraid to do some digging. That's what I did to prep. So, yeah.
Awesome. What about one-on-ones? How'd those go?
Yeah. So I think the majority of my interviews were one-on-ones on Zoom, and they typically lasted 15 to 30 minutes. I had one-on-ones for Chicago, Harvard, WashU, and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's one-on-one was actually with an alumni. So that's just something to be aware of. And that actually went about an hour, I think. And it was pretty cool to get to chat with someone who had actually been to the school.
Yeah.
So those were all of my one-on-ones. What about you, Kevin?
I had one-on-ones with UVA, WashU, and Columbia. And I enjoyed two of the three. I'm not going to say which ones I enjoyed more, but you know, it's I don't want to say it's luck of the draw, but sometimes you get people that are super open, super friendly, love hanging out with them. You know, at certain points in some of those interviews, I felt like, wow, am I actually interviewing or am I just having coffee with a friend? You know, that sort of thing. But there are other times where I was really stiff and it was like the other person is not reciprocating the sort of openness and friendliness that I was looking for. So I was just kind of like, okay, you know, this is great. Let's get out of here. You know, that sort of thing. But you know, we'll talk about this later, but sometimes, you know, not only is the interview a vibe check for the school to check you out, but it's a vibe check for you to check out the school. So look at that way. So, again, two of the three were super awesome. Really enjoyed, talking to the two interviewers, had a great time, getting to know about the school and just hanging out. But the other one, it was okay. So
yeah, and that's a good point. What would you, if you could share any advice with our listeners about like what to do if you get in an interview and it's maybe a little bit more stiff and maybe the person that you're talking to, your interviewer, isn't quite bouncing off of you like you were maybe hoping for, but you still want to present like the best version of you in that instance?
I think it's true with, you know, an interview that's going well, you know, be honest about who you are and, you know, show off how you would act in the community, because that's what you're going to be a part of. But also, I guess, be inquisitive and ask questions about things because, you know, the interview is kind of an exchange. And if you're just kind of answering, you know, the person's asking you a question and you're just answering the question, again, it's just stiff. Try to open the dialogue in a different way that isn't necessarily, you know, like for me, I like to be a little bit humorous and have a little bit of a witty response when I interviewed. That wasn't working in that one interview. So instead I just started asking questions about things and it got a little bit better because they, you know, they were happy to answer the question that I had and they could tell that I was interested and cared about the school. So that's what I would suggest. Change approach a little bit. But you know, it's easier said than done, I think, right? So
for sure. But I think that's great advice because I mean, it's all about flexibility and when you're a lawyer, you're going to have to be flexible, right? You're going to have clients with different personalities. You're going to encounter all kinds of different people with different personalities in law school and the legal profession. So I think it's just something that you kind of have to roll with the punches. And like you said, maybe adjust your approach a little bit. But ultimately, as corny as it sounds, I think you do want to be yourself and put the best you forward. And if you find out in the interview that maybe the school isn't the best fit for you, that's fine, right? Like Kevin said earlier, it's not just them interviewing you. It's an opportunity for you to get to know their school. So
yeah.
I just think that's, you just need to be kind of aware of that as you move through and don't be so terrified. It's once you've made it to that point, I think they clearly are interested in you as a candidate. And it's your opportunity to show them more of you, but also learn more about them. So,
yeah. And, you know, kind of, we've both talked about the schools that we've interviewed at so far. We haven't even got through half of our lists and we've already interviewed a lot of schools. You're going to get really good at this at some point with your interviews because a lot of schools interview. But there's a few other kinds that we haven't mentioned yet. And one of them is a scholarship interview. I did not have a scholarship interview. I didn't get that far, but it sounds like you might have, Delia. Do you mind talking about that and how that went?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had a scholarship interview at Duke. I did not have a interview to be admitted. I think that's pretty standard, but I could be wrong. I'm not sure if anyone ever gets interviewed prior to admittance. But after I was admitted, I was invited to complete a scholarship interview, and I'm pretty sure Duke's scholarship interview is mandatory, which of course, like for me, it's like, why wouldn't you want to do a scholarship interview? But I think it is mandatory. So just things to be aware of, but I was already admitted. And honestly, it was one of my favorite interviews. The person I talked to was incredible. And it did seem like it was kind of an opportunity for them to try to figure out, because obviously they've already admitted you, they want you there.
Yeah.
But try to figure out how likely you actually are to go, for one, which I think is kind of important to note. Like, the questions that I got seem to be a bit geared towards, are you actually going to come to our school? But then also, it was an opportunity to talk about finances, financial concerns, what may or may not be preventing you from going to this school. So yeah, it was definitely less pressure because I was already admitted, but you still want to put your best foot forward because this is your opportunity to get money, and right, you want that money. So you want to be as professional, as excited, as eager as you would be in a normal interview, even though you're already admitted. Like, you don't want to be doing it from your bed, right? Like, which I have heard of people doing. So just be aware of that. I have heard of people doing that. So still put your best foot forward, even though you've been admitted. This is your opportunity to get that cash, if you will. So,
you know, this begs the question, at least in my mind. At this point, you've gone through a lot of interviews with other schools. Did your approach change when you found out, oh yeah, I'm doing a scholarship interview at Duke? Did you have a certain way you wanted to go about it, or did you kind of have the same mindset with other interviews?
I mean, I guess generally the same mindset, but honestly, I was really excited about Duke. So my approach was that I wanted to go in, which was genuine, but I wanted to go in and show them, like, if you give me the money, I will come. You know, that was kind of how I went into it. But still generally, like, I wanted to be professional. I wanted to ask questions about their school to try to figure out if my genuine interest was backed up, I guess, and that, like, it wasn't just like in my head, but that it was actually a school that I would want to attend. So I still kind of approached it in a way of, like, this is my opportunity to get to know them more, since I didn't have an interview prior to acceptance.
So. Gotcha. Yeah. So kind of the same thing as the other interviews, right? Robert, if you're listening, scholarship interviews, they might sound different, but it sounds like, you know, this is your opportunity to take advantage of getting that cash, as Delia says, and to get a little more of the school still. So.
For sure. And I also kind of want to give the tip of, like, be honest about, like, if a school does a scholarship interview, it's for a reason. So if you have financial concerns, don't be afraid to share them. I think they want you to be open about that, for me, I'm interested in public interest law. So those tend to be lower paying careers within the legal profession. So that was something that I talked about, just to be open and honest, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's awesome too, because again, I think that shows that you care about not only the school, but just about investing yourself into the profession. So that's awesome. We got one more. This is kind of a niche interview area, but, you know, a lot of people go through this process every year. We have the group interview. And as far as I'm aware, Georgetown is the only one that does this, right? So
yeah, as far as I know.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was thinking. Cool. Group interview. You and I both did it. What did you think of it?
It was actually my favorite interview. I think this is an unpopular opinion, but it was my favorite. I really loved getting to meet other applicants, to be honest. Not that you had a ton of time to actually chat with them, but it was just kind of cool to see people that you'll potentially be entering law school with and entering the profession with. And it was just an interesting interview setup, in that I felt like the questions that I was asked, which I won't really get into specifics about them, but the questions that I was asked were interesting in a way that it seemed that they were trying to see how your brain works and how you can communicate with other people and have, like, reasonable discourse. And I won't say much more than that, but I actually really, really enjoyed it. And I feel like the group format kind of took a bit of pressure off for me that I normally felt with that one-on-one interview.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great point with pressure because you're the thick of it with, you know, what did you say, 6 or 7 other people, something like that.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, and you know, you get to learn a lot about your potential future classmates just as much as they learn about you. And you kind of mentioned this already, but like the whole group interview is a thought experiment rather than like a traditional interview. And the thought experiment was fun to do. I guess there was a little bit of pressure in that, you know, do I go with the hive mind to go with what everybody else was saying, or do I kind of, you know, think about what I go with my own thoughts? And through that interview, and I had this very early on in my interview cycle, I guess, it reminded me, oh yeah, I should do what I think, because, you know, maybe it's the same as everybody else. Maybe it's different. Who cares? I want to present my best self and who I am to the thought experiment that's going on. So in that sense, it was a good interview to go through because it helped me understand what they're looking for in a non-traditional interview process, but also helped me apply, you know, what I should be doing to my other interviews too. So yeah, no, I enjoyed it as well. Glad to hear that was your favorite. that's awesome. We've kind of touched on this a little bit already, but how do we prepare for these interviews? I mean, we've done a ton of them. We've already talked through basically all the ones we've gone through. How did you prepare, Delia? What was your best method?
Yeah, so I kind of just, I'm not sure how traditional this is, but I took some time a couple days leading up to the interview and jotted down just trying to jog my memory about experiences that I've had that I felt like they might ask about, particular questions that I feel like they may ask, because obviously, I mean, I think we can just kind of go ahead and say like the ones you're going to get in almost every interview, they're going to ask you, why do you want to practice law? Why do you want to go to law school? I got a lot of questions about why do I want to go to law school now? Because I am what we call a KJD. So I just graduated. I'm going straight through law school. Right. So yeah. I got a lot of why nows, which people that aren't KJDs might get a lot too, but I felt like I was specifically asked about why now as someone coming right out of undergrad without work experience. And then just generally like why that school, because I applied so broadly. So I wanted to make sure I was thinking thoughtfully about why I wanted to go to that school. Obviously I had some interest and in every school I applied to, I wouldn't have applied, but I wanted to make sure I had a good, carefully thought out reason for why I would be happy to go there if admitted, and what that school could offer me. So that was generally how I prepared. I would literally just jot down some crazy notes and also try to think about memories and like experiences that I'd had that I feel like they might ask about. I felt like I got a lot of questions along the lines of, tell us about like a challenging experience you've had that might have prepared you for law school. I think that's a pretty standard, like this is just like standard interview question.
Right.
So that's kind of it. I just tried to do some brainstorming, and but ultimately I tried not to over prep. I do think you can over prep.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah, I think you're exactly right. It's very easy to over prep because there's so many different aspects I think they could, you know, different avenues they could come from when they're asking questions. But I think your anecdote exercise that you did before interviews is an awesome thing to do. Because not only is it, you know, they might ask you that specific question, like what challenges have you experienced, or what was some successful achievement you did, you know, you came across through work or school or whatever, but also it's like, why am I doing this in the first place? It's kind of another check for yourself. Like, why am I going to law school? Why do I want to do this? Let me just make sure that, oh yeah, I want to invest in the process and invest in myself going to law school, because, you know, this is my second time applying. 2 years ago, I had a similar sort of idea of why I wanted to go to law school, but I don't think it was as strong as it is now. And during the interviews this year, I felt much better about the interviews because I had an extra 2 years to figure out, oh yeah, this is what I want to do, and this is a good pathway for me to choose. So, but yeah, be honest, be who you are. Again, it's putting face to a name. One thing that we talked about with this anecdote exercise, and with, you know, going, why law, why now, why this school sort of thing, is to, again, formulate those ideas. So then when you get there, the interview goes smoothly and everything's hunky dory and everybody's happy through the interview process. So now we've gotten that out of the way. We've gotten the process. We've got what kind of interviews they have. We got through what they're, you know, what kind of questions you might be asked. What should you wear to an interview? You know, a lot of people, you know, I see this online all the time. People are like, oh my gosh, I got to wear my 6-piece suit to my interview because, you know, I got to look my best. I got to look the sharpest, right? And it's like, hold on a second. Is that actually what you should be doing?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it's, again, on Zoom most of the time. And, you know, maybe schools will start doing in-person interviews later on. But I feel like at least probably for the next, this coming cycle, it's probably still going to be mostly on Zoom.
Yeah.
For one-on-one. But I mean, just generally like business casual, present the best version of yourself. But at the same time, like, don't be afraid to be yourself. And by that, I want to caution, like, don't wear something crazy. Don't wear something unprofessional. But like for me, I like bright colors. So I didn't shy away from wearing my bright colored blazer, you know?
That's awesome.
so be you, but still try to be the professional version of you.
Yeah, that's great advice. We don't want to stick out like a sore thumb for the wrong reasons, right?
Right.
Don't wear your clown tie or your clown wig to, you know, your interview or whatever. I agree 100%. Business casual sounds like a good fit. I don't know if this is a saying, but you don't want to necessarily overdress where you're wearing fancier stuff than the interviewer is. I feel like that might get a little awkward, but generally business casual is great. If you want to do a little bit more business professional, I don't think that's going to hurt you necessarily, but business casual is just fine. So,
yeah, I think just use your best judgment. I feel like that's probably a good philosophy for this whole pod, right? Is just use your best judgment. It's an I feel like law school admissions is an exercise in good judgment. I've heard people say that before and I fully agree.
That's great advice. I haven't really thought about that. And now I'm thinking about my cycle. No, just kidding. It's fine. We got one last little bit here from Robert. He's talking about, you know, how much impact do they have on admissions and or scholarships? And, you know, this, to me, this kind of like a summation of what we talked about. So what kind of impact do these interviews have on your application and on the process itself?
I think I've heard a lot of people refer to interviews as a vibe check. And I think that's partially true. I do think if you've made it to the interview, they probably like you enough as a candidate to want to admit you.
Yeah.
So they are trying to figure out, again, not an expert here, but I think they are just trying to figure out, are you who you say you are, for one? And then also just, would you be a good fit for our school? I do think that's something they want to know. Like, if we admit you, would you even go? So I do think that's something to consider, right? And I think you want to go into interviews being prepared to demonstrate why you would be a good fit for that school. But also, as we've talked about, like, it is an opportunity for you to figure out if that school is a good fit for you, because you are going to be there for 3 years. Yeah. And so that's important as well. But yeah, I think generally just they're important. And I do think they're a vibe check, but they're not. It is possible for that to go south. I know people specifically who have made it to the Harvard interview, which is a big deal, right? Just to make it to the Harvard interview.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then turned around and got rejected after the interview. So it's possible. It is important and you should put the best you forward. But ultimately, I think they're just trying to figure out if you are who you say you are and if you'd be a good fit.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm thinking about it too, right? You have a bunch of tests, you know, let's say there's 5 tests. The interview is either the 4th or 5th test on that list, right? You've passed a bunch of them, however many there are, again, and they're less concerned necessarily about your credentials. They're more concerned about how you fit in with the rest of the class and how you'd fit with, you know, being on campus. And that's the vibe check I think you were talking about. But, you know, at the same time, this is your chance. The pendulum kind of swings back to you in this process where suddenly you're in charge and you get to end up deciding what school you get to go to. So this is your chance, again, to ask questions and kind of get some more info about the school itself. So that's kind of the summation there for Robert's questions. We wanted to add a little bit more here to it. And so what, Delia, was your favorite interview or your favorite interview question? I think you touched on this a little bit already, but curious to hear.
Yeah, I did. So my favorite interview was Georgetown. I honestly just thought it was fun. And I felt like I was the most comfortable in that interview. But my favorite interview question was, I won't say who asked it, but was they asked me about what I did to de-stress and have fun. And I liked that a lot because I was like, okay, well, one, this told me like two things. It gave me an opportunity to show a side of myself and talk about my hobbies and the things that I love doing outside of academics right. and law school and law school admissions. But also I felt like it almost showed me that the school actually cared about my well-being in a way and wanted to make sure I was someone who wasn't going to go to their school and just spend every single hour in the library, but could take care of themselves and was like a well-rounded person. So I just thought it was a super interesting question and I had fun answering it. So yeah. What about you?
You know, I kind of mentioned this earlier too. I like to have a little bit of humorous wit involved, kind of de-stresses me as I go through the process. And so if I get an interviewer that bounces back that same energy, I have a great time. So for me, my favorite was UVA, which might be a big shocker to everybody since I'm going to UVA. It's like a great fit. You know, again, I was having a conversation with a friend. That's what it felt like. Now, this really bugged me because I was thinking about this earlier. It's like, what was my favorite interview question? There was one about an elephant, and I don't remember what the question was. So I guess this is a challenge for those of you listening on the pod. If you have an interview next year with the school and you have a question about an elephant, please let me know because I forgot what the question was and I want to know what it was.
That's so funny.
But if I'm thinking about a question that I do remember, I actually brought this question myself. I'm a musician. I asked, you know, a couple schools, you know, what opportunities can I do at your school to continue playing music? Do you have a community band? Do you have something like that? Whatever. And they said at one of the schools, they said, yeah, we have a comedy troupe that does a band segment every year. You would be great for that. We need a clarinet player. And I was like, all right, oh, cool. I've never done comedy, but that sounds fun. So that's a little different because they didn't ask me that question. I kind of asked them. They gave me a different answer. But anyway, that's it there for the interview questions. Do you have any last thoughts, Delia, before we wrap it up?
No, that's awesome. First of all, that's funny about the elephant question. I really want to know what it was.
Yeah, that's piquing your interest too, right?
Yeah, no, seriously. But just on the note of what you just said about asking questions, I felt like we sort of touched on it, but I kind of wanted to bring it home with this is you should come prepared with questions. You don't have to memorize questions to ask. Yeah. I would just maybe jot a few down to have like in the back of your mind, but also be open to maybe changing what you want to ask as you move through the interview, like if they say something and you want to know more about it. But just always be prepared to ask questions, because I think every single interview I did, I was like, okay, so, or they asked me like, do you have any questions for us or for me? And you can use that as an opportunity. I feel like the easiest route to go, if you can't think of a question that you is really bugging you, is to ask them about themselves or the school and like kind of give them an opportunity to brag about the school and share what they really love about their school and what makes their school unique. So I just wanted to make sure we talked about that, because I think I was asked that pretty much every interview.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you said that. That's great advice. It's reminded me now of a little bit of some of the questions I asked other people. I value community a lot. I had a great community when I was an undergrad. And so, you know, I phrased it a bit more specifically, but I said, hey, what kind of community do you have your school, because I liked this part of the community when I had, you know, when I was at undergrad, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, like you say, you don't have to memorize your question, but, you know, this is kind of something that interested me. And I wanted to bring that to the school and say, hey, this is me. How do I fit in with you and bringing myself there? So, no, I love what you said about that. That makes a lot of sense. And I think a lot of people will appreciate that. So, if you have any questions or want to share some LSAT or law school admissions news, then please email daily at lsatdemon.com. I'm Kevin. Delia, thanks so much for being here.
Of course.
I think everybody's going to get a real kick out of this pod. And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next time.